You're dialed in to another episode of the Muley Freak Podcast.
It's basically just a breakfast. We've been running on our own hunts for years, and I was making just loads of that when I was guiding, and then so yeah, that was kind of one of the staples. And again, it's just kind of a different approach to kind of oatmeal, I guess. There's good grass-fed protein powder in there, a lot of good, you know, chopped up almonds and coconut.
Unscripted, real conversations about everything to do with Western big game hunting.
We'll probably launch another round of pre-order meals late July, like right when these ones ship. And those ones we're going to do, they'll be individualized, so you don't have to buy the four pack.
Oh, okay.
There'll be a new batch of meals, and we'll probably have some leftovers from this first round that'll be on there as well, just for single purchase. So,
tips and tactics, opinions, where we've been, where we're going. Here's this week's episode. So, Spencer, go ahead and introduce yourself, and what you do for Off Grid Foods. Is it Off Grid Food Company? And give a little bit about what that whole business venture has been like.
Yeah, my name's Spencer Tripp. I guess you'd say I'm the founder of Off Grid Food Company. And we make a line of kind of backpack friendly, convenient, packable snacks, breakfasts, and now freeze dried dinners, kind of with a focus on the hunting and angling space. So
excellent.
We just fired up last year and are just about coming up on our, you know, 1 year anniversary. So
that's exciting. So the whole 1 year mile marker for you guys has kind of brought about a pretty big milestone for you with the whole dinner program then. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. That's, you know, something that I was trying to have ready to go at the get-go. And we just now got that rolling and are just right now currently doing our kind of first round of pre-orders on those. So, yeah, super exciting.
Well, so without getting into too much of the business side of things, what is the pre-sale, the whole pre-sale process entail of? What's going on with that? So obviously it's just beginning the dinner program, right?
Yeah. So we just launched that. I guess it would have been just a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
And the first round of those we've got four meals on there right now. There's a pasta, there's kind of like an enchilada bowl, a Thai green curry, and then just a classic chili. And yeah, so for the first round, we're just selling those as a four meal pack, and we're going to change those up kind of quarterly and slowly work into having a full-time menu of those dinners. So
that'll be awesome.
Be a lot coming down the pipe, and yeah, we're going to kind of change it up every time for, you know, at least the next couple little rounds of pre-orders before we kind of dial it in full time and get a sense of what are the favorites and what aren't, and just kind of work through it. So,
well, and for you guys, that's a good way to do it, because it kind of weeds out some of the recipes that are, you know, everybody loves and they're the favorites. And then it saves you the hassle of stocking something that maybe not everybody wants to buy.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah, on the front end of getting these meals launched, that was something that, you know, was just kind of a little nerve wracking. So yeah, we kind of just made it so that we could grow into it and get good customer feedback to kind of help grow and develop that line of products. So
that's great. Where did you come up with the recipes for all that? Or not the recipes, but at least the, you know, what was going to go into each meal? What made you think of the exotic type meals? Because those aren't mac and cheese and beef stew.
No. So, the choice of protein was more of a licensing requirement than a just personal preference. Just because we are so small, and we work out of a shared, it's a super high-end catering kitchen, but it's shared, so a couple food trucks and caterers and some bakers use it as well. Just because of that, we couldn't get a USDA grant of inspection.
Gotcha.
Because it is shared. So yeah, there's some leeway with some of those exotic labeled meats like bison,
right,
like quail, where, yeah, if they come from, specific certified sources, then yeah, you can use those at state level licensing. We don't need to go down that rabbit hole, but basically that's why. So, and at the end of the day, it's kind of nice because they're a better source of protein for you in the long run. It does make the meals a little bit pricier, just because they are more expensive and hard to get, but it's a good choice, and they make the meals just a little bit different, and they've all turned out super great so far.
That's good. So and I can agree with being different, and I think that's something that's at least drawn me to off-grid food and seeing what you guys do, because I mean they sound good before I even purchase any. They sound like they're going to be pretty tasty, and the fact that they are different, I think everybody that's eaten out of a backpack meal and lived off them for X amount of days can agree that it's sometimes it's a little tough living off the same flavor for so long. So it's kind of a welcome sight to see such different flavors.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just that, yeah, variety is kind of the spice of life back there, so to say. So it's good to have choices for sure.
That's good.
But no, yeah, that was the kind of choice behind the meats. So
excellent. Okay. Now let's talk about the breakfast thing. I didn't really pay much attention in the beginning. Did you guys start off with snacks first, or did you offer snacks and breakfast in the beginning, or how did that all work in the stage one?
Yeah, we offered we had the kind of the predator fuel, the instant oatmeals, that it's basically just a breakfast. We've been running on our own hunts for years, and I was making just loads of that when I was guiding, and then so yeah, that was kind of one of the staples. And again, it's just kind of a different approach to kind of oatmeal, I guess. There's good grass-fed protein powder in there, a lot of good, you know, chopped up almonds and coconut, whole pieces of good freeze-dried fruit. So it's really a whole lot more than just your average packet of instant oatmeal.
Yeah.
So yeah, I kind of wanted to make something there that was a little more, nourishing and fulfilling, to kind of, I guess, help with recovery from, you know, the day before, you know, maybe put in a whole lot of miles and elevation gain the day before, and that little extra bit of protein can, you know, just help you not get so beat up day after day after day. So yeah, we started out with those breakfasts, and then had a trail mix and some bars, which we actually no longer have. We're working on some new ones.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So, and then we've since added jerky and the freeze-dried meals. So
excellent. I was just breezing through your website page and kind of looking at the Predator Fuel oatmeals and seeing all that. It's pretty impressive that in a 4 ounce size, you guys are able to pack 660 calories. That's a hearty breakfast.
Yeah, yeah. Like I said, it's a full bag of food.
Nice.
with you back there. So it's just kind of meant, everything's kind of really meant for, you know. Yeah, you can eat it at home and it's great and it's easy and convenient, but it's really, you know, got the kind of macro nutrient profile for being out in the woods or just exerting yourself beyond, I guess, what you normally might do in your daily routine. So yeah it's pretty jam packed with calories and protein and good healthy fats from those almonds and coconut.
That's excellent. So now, is there a difference between your hot breakfast and your cold breakfast then? Is it obviously the oatmeal is hot. What have you guys offered for cold breakfast?
Yeah, there's just one right now, and it's more or less our trail mix that's got, you know, powdered milk and protein powder added into it. So just kind of a grain free option. It's definitely on the higher fat, higher calorie side. I think it's like 800 calories.
Yeah, 810. That's wow.
It's basically just nuts and seeds. So it's, yeah, that again is a super rich and filling breakfast. It's a lot lower on the carb aspect. So we just kind of wanted to have a different option for, you know, some of those guys that are going on the lower carb or just like a little more protein to start their day like that. So
definitely.
That's what we've also just been, you know, we're just taking our own trail mix for years and dumping a scoop of protein powder in it. That's kind of how that started with.
Do that and add water and away you go.
Water in a Ziploc baggie in the backcountry was my breakfast for a long time. It didn't require any fuel or any, you know, a different bowl getting all dirty and sticky or whatever. So
the first time I saw that Ziploc bag trick, I was on a little scouting trip, and I think I packed like 4 days or 5 days worth of all I had was those little instant packets of oatmeal.
Yeah.
I remember on the last day I was like, oh my gosh, I don't want freaking oatmeal again. And then I saw that one of the other kids that was with us, he pulled out one of those, no kidding, a Ziploc bag with just granola and powdered milk in there and added cold water. And I was like, dude, that sounds so good. I tried like hell to barter with him and get him to trade it with me, but it wasn't, he wasn't having it. But that's funny that you take something, you know, such a simple deal that maybe a lot of guys are doing on their own, but now you're able to put it in a durable package and stack it with 800 something calories. And, you know, guys may not be getting that kind of calorie intake on just homemade brew. So that's nice.
Yeah. It's, like I said, everything's just kind of meant to be convenient and packable, and the calorie count and all that good stuff's just made to be out there exerting yourself, really.
So now let's talk about the kits that you guys offer on the website.
Yeah.
So you've got the Cascade kit. I'm kind of just going through the website because I figured I'd hold off on doing the research so that I could ask you questions in real time, and I think it's paying off for me.
Oh, there you go.
So let's talk about the Cascade kit. What does that entail?
Yeah, you know, we just wanted to kind of make a handful of bulk options where,
okay,
you know you got a week long, or you know, couple longer hunts coming up or whatever, and you need a batch of stuff, and just kind of like, they're just kind of bulk packages that you kind of get a little savings on for buying more of. So
okay,
we're just gonna kind of keep rolling different one of those out. But yeah, I think the Cascade kit's got, I think, one of each of the oatmeals, or one of each of the breakfasts. So it's got all four of the oatmeals and the Rise and Grind, the cold cereal. And then I think 3 bags of trail mix and 4 bags of jerky. So kind of a good spread. And then eventually, once we have the meals on the web available, kind of just in stock full time, we're going to add some more of those that, you know, have meals incorporated in there too. So
gotcha. Okay.
You know, with the end idea being, you know, we've got the Weekender kit on there.
Yeah.
We've got a Weekender kit. We'll probably have like a 7-day kit or a 5-day kit, just something easy to get on there and click and know you've got X amount of food for, you know, X amount of days essentially.
Well, that saves in the headache too of trying to go through and pick and choose which one you want and buy. I always suffer from the problem of buying too much. And then I'm like, it's funny because I'll buy too much and then not use it, and then the next year comes around and I'm like, well, this stuff I totally forgot about it, so now I got to go out and buy new. No, just like back at square one, spending more money that I should have. So having it all in a kit's a pretty nice deal.
Yeah,
I like that. So Spencer, kind of let's jumping into a little bit of the inspiration behind it. So you've mentioned you've been doing this whole backcountry food type thing on your own for many years. What made you, you know, take the leap and jump into an enterprise like Off Grid?
Someday enterprise, hopefully.
That's right. That's right. Got to have a goal, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So, it really kind of came about, we moved back out to Washington and I just kind of took a random offer and ended up guiding a season out here. Blacktail elk and bears. And then, just started making a whole bunch of stuff for that. And it kind of started disappearing really quickly when for every season I'd make a new batch and people were kind of asking about it. And then, One of the clients I had was like, well, is there anybody doing this? Like, is anybody selling this? Kind of with a focus on the hunting and angling crowd. And I just kind of looked at it. I was like, not really with that direct kind of focus. And,
yeah,
you know, it's a big industry and it's a growing crowd of people that are kind of looking for different options, especially in the food realm with all the health and fitness craze that's going on, which is awesome.
Yeah.
Then he just kind of looked at me and was like, well, you tell me you kind of need something to do after this guiding season's over with in the next, 60 to 70 days. And he's just kind of like, why don't you just try and sell this stuff? He's like, it's really good. Just start selling it. And I was like, oh, well, that sounds super easy, but
it always sounds easy when you discuss it on the mountain like that.
So guide season kind of winded down and kind of just started thinking about it more and looking into it more and just kind of realized that, seemed like there was some space for a kind of, sportsman's based food company. So
that's excellent.
We kind of dove right in and it's just kind of been a crazy whirlwind since. So it's been great.
That's awesome. So you talked about the kitchen that you guys are based out of. Do you do your own freeze drying there at that facility, or do you have it somewhere else that you do the freeze drying through, or how does that work?
Nope. Yeah, we do it all ourselves. Nice. And that's part of the reason why it took a while to get licensed. They haven't really had anyone ask to like freeze dry chili and put it in a bag before. So we were kind of the guinea pig for the licensing on the state level for those products. But we're doing it all ourselves. So it's all, it's all cooked on a high, like in a kitchen, essentially. Yeah. It's not a big production factory. There's a person stirring onions into every batch there. It's all kind of done in small batches by hand, which really allows us to increase the quality of the end product. So whether it's the pasta sauce or whatever, if there's a person standing there and watching and smelling things develop as they're cooked, you can really kind of dial in that quality of on the taste aspect, at least.
Well, I like the fact that there's a taste tester walking around. I can just picture it now.
That was really important. Going back on the inspiration of how we started this whole thing, I worked in restaurants for a really long time before that, and my aunt's a longtime caterer and kind of private chef, so that's always been a a passion of mine as well. Worked in a lot of kitchens, from that kind of catering level to line cooking and everywhere in between, scrubbing dishes. So it's really kind of a combination of my two passions, which is the outdoors and cooking. So
excellent. And I've noticed on the website as well, you guys have got you're real focused on conservation. We'll talk about that for a little bit.
It's just one of those things that's super important to us, and we're kind of looking at, our food as a, critical piece of gear that goes into your bag, just as you're almost just as important as whatever weapon you might be carrying out there, whatever boots you might be wearing, whatever pack you might be carrying it all in. So, it's really one of those things where we're looking at it as a piece of gear, and a lot of that, essential pieces of gear you get, it's got the Pittman Robertson tax attached to it.
Yep.
So we wanted to do something that's just kind of a little bit bigger than the food aspect of it as a whole, and kind of just show our commitment to the sportsman's community and crowd, and it's where our passions are. And at the end of the day, I've got further than that, I've got little kids. I want all this stuff to be around when they're old enough to go enjoy it by themselves. And, a lot of that, there's obviously a lot of tension around public lands and more and more tension around just direct hunting issues itself. So the more we can contribute to, helping keep the fire burning, so to say, and supporting groups and specific projects and whatever that, help back for preserving habitat or fighting for public lands or just spreading, good positive knowledge in general, the more we can contribute to that, it's just makes us feel better about it. So
that's great. That is great. I noticed you guys have, like you mentioned the Pittman Robertson and going a little bit above that, the 5% quarterly donation of all sales. How did that 5% come about? How did you land on that number?
It's just kind of crunching numbers, and honestly, we just kind of wanted to chip off a part that, you know, we could chip off a piece we could swallow, and that we also felt, you know, made an impact at, you know, whatever level our small little business can do. So
yeah,
that was just the kind of the number that made it all tick. So that's where we started at, and hopefully someday we can increase that or just give more in time and boots on the ground efforts or whatever. Yeah. But so that's really just kind of how that came about.
Excellent. That's
made it work.
I commend you guys on that. That is impressive. Do you have any specific organizations that you guys are working with at the moment, or do you kind of just spread that 5% out as needed, or what's in the works at the moment?
Yeah, like you said, we're kind of doing a quarterly donation, so I think we kind of rolled the second half of last year into the end of the year donation, which we did for BHA.
Nice.
And then we did, we were working with Bonefish Tarpon Trust for the first quarter of 2018. So I'm a big fly fisherman, as well.
Oh,
mostly salt water. My parents live down in Key West most of the year, so I get spoiled on the salt. I do most of my fishing.
What a terrible place to fish, man. Holy cow.
Yeah, definitely. So, we just went down there, and my dad, my uncle put on a little tarpon tournament down there every spring. When this was like the 16th or 17th year they've been doing that. So they've added in a big conservation piece to the fishing tournament. So some of the Bonefish Tarpon Trust guys and I were on a tagging boat. So we were just throwing live bait, and anytime someone caught a fish, they'd call us, and if we were close, we'd run over there, and the scientists would try to put a tag in it, and we'd put these big, you know, tarpon are huge. They're, not to get off topic here, but they're, you know, they're super old. They can get up, you know, they don't reach, you know, breeding maturity until, I don't want to get my numbers wrong, but like, I think it's 30 or 40 years.
No so way.
Quite old. I could be wrong on that, but super old. There's not a whole lot known about them. And they get really big. I think the one we tagged this year was about 90 pounds.
Wow.
And then each year, you know, there's guys that catch fish pushing that 200 pound mark, so they get really big.
Yeah.
it's just fun to be a part of that. You put them in a big sling and they pull a scale off, put this transceiver in there, and then give them a little suture to stitch them back up and send them on their way. And then anytime they pass a receiver, that's whatever is in the ocean, for whatever reason, they're all over the place.
Yeah.
It pings that data back to their office, and they can kind of see where those fish are going. So there's a lot of tourism and just general recreation that impacts the fishery down there pretty heavily. So they'll use all that stuff to kind of hopefully create some new regulations and protect some more habitat down there.
That's excellent. That's a pretty good spread between BHA and Bonefish Tarpon Trust. I mean, that's a pretty diverse portfolio for off-grid food. That's impressive.
Yeah. So yeah, that one was fun, and it's you know, we've got a personal relationship with a lot of the guys at Bonefish Tarpon Trust, and that was an opportunity for us to kind of get down there and do some hands-on work as well. So that was a lot of fun. And then yeah, this next quarter we haven't really dialed in yet, but we need to soon. So we might look at some projects that are kind of happen regionally here in the Pacific Northwest over the summer, and donate some funding to those, as well as some time on boots on the ground efforts as well, just kind of before season, and get some local projects going here and help out with some of those. So
that's great. The Pacific Northwest definitely does not have a shortage of conservation groups there. I mean, you guys you're kind of at the confluence of a lot of major big game animals and a lot of projects going on in that realm. For sure.
Yeah.
I mean, BHA's got a huge reach. I know there's a bunch of sheep stuff going on. You've got obviously Rocky Mountain Elk up there as well. All sorts of stuff up there that you guys really have the opportunity to help out with.
Yeah, it's a pretty cool, pretty unique area we've got up here. So there should be a lot of fun projects for us to help get involved with over the summer.
That's excellent. And getting the employees out and putting boots on the ground as well, that's good.
Yeah, which is pretty much just me at this point.
Well, there you go. You can do the
just in all
you can do
all
the work.
It's pretty much just me and And we got one other guy, a good buddy of mine, is going to start helping out over the summer here. And then and my wife helps out a lot as well.
Well, there you go. So when conservation groups that listen to this podcast think that you're going to show up and do the work of 10 men, you have to do the work of 10 men. You know that, right?
I'll give it 110%.
Oh, that's awesome, man. Good stuff. So have you got any fun hunts planned for this fall then?
You know, I didn't draw anything. I was kind of hoping I'd pick a Colorado muley tag up with a handful of points, but I guess that'll have to wait till next year. So just, you know, hunting locally around here in Washington, get down and do the chase rosies early, and then might try and bump over out of state for an elk hunt, depending on how the first part of our season goes. Not a whole lot of out of state stuff planned, just deer hunting here in Washington. And we've got getting excited. Our bear season kicks off August 1st. So we'll get get a couple bear trips in before all the other big game seasons kick off. So,
oh, that'll be good. Have you been out after spring bear or know anybody that has up there then?
Up here it's, you know, I've got some buddies that have been running out of state to Idaho or Montana, but the spring bears up here are limited to a handful of tags on the east side and even fewer tags on the west side.
Really? Why is that?
It's all draw, you know. It's I get asked that a lot. You know, I really don't know the answer.
Interesting.
Especially because you can get two over-the-counter bear tags in the fall. So why why they don't let you split those up between spring and fall and open up some more over-the-counter spring hunts would be, I think a lot of us are actually wondering why it's set up like that.
Wow, but somebody's got a stake in that spring bear hunt. Maybe that's interesting.
Yeah, something. So, but you know, it does work out pretty nice. You can get two tags in the fall out here, so I can't really complain.
Yeah, no, two fall tags is a great way to kind of cover up any dead space for years like this year that you don't draw anything.
Yeah, absolutely. And we've got, you know, everything from, you know, timber country and clear cuts to, you know, high alpine berry fields and meadows, so there you can kind of get a whole mix of I guess bear habitats. You can't hunt bait and you can't hunt with dogs over here.
That was my other question. So it's all spot and stalk then?
Yeah, all spot and stalk. So yeah, the high country is a good bet. You know, we get up there on those berry fields and it can be a lot of fun. See a lot of critters. Sometimes you see a lot of people depending on where you're at, but that's everywhere.
Well, that's a kind of a common thing up in that region as well. It's very outdoor recreation oriented for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which it helps for off-grid as well. I mean, have you guys noticed, I know you're geared more toward the sportsman, but have you noticed an influx of customers that are maybe just on the outdoor recreation side of things?
Yeah, it's you know, it's kind of hard to tell since we do just kind of market to the sportsman's crowd.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, definitely have been getting, you know, messages from folks who just, you know, at first glance seem like they might not be hunters, but are super interested in the products. We're helping a couple guys out that are doing some endurance races this summer.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And both of those guys actually are hunters, but they're going to be doing these kind of big multi-day, multi-stage adventure type races.
So they're clinically insane then.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
It does not sound easy, that's for sure.
Oh man, I tell you what, I couldn't do it.
Yeah, everything from, you know, kayaking and rafting to they kind of traverse up and over different drainages, do all sorts of physical challenges over X amount of miles and X amount of days. So
wow,
it'll be interesting to see, you know, how those guys what their feedback is about, you know, how it helps them perform in that environment.
Well, I can imagine that something like that, I mean, a big factor in that entire event is probably caloric intake, so I'm sure they're gonna take advantage of that, a lot of calories in a small package type thing, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Good. That's good stuff. So now for the listeners that want to jump on board, you guys have got the website. Are all of your sales online based at the moment?
Not all of them. The bulk of them, yes. And then we just started reaching out to some of the more, you know, specialized archery shops, some of the smaller hunting shops, kind of here regionally. So yeah, we're going to start to expand out into more retail locations. So
excellent.
Yeah, who knows where you'll see us pop up next? But we've got a couple locations here in Washington, a few in Oregon, a couple in Idaho, and we're kind of making our way towards you guys there. So
perfect. Well, we're excited to see it move this way. That's good stuff. I think it's a great opportunity for, like you say, there's definitely a need for it in the market, and I think the variety and the quality are something that's much needed.
Good. No, I'm glad you feel that way.
Definitely. And then now the website is offgridfood.co.
Right? Yes. Yep, not .com. I don't that was apparently taken.
somebody grabbed it and just is, yes, sitting on it, huh?
Yep, stuff you learn when you, I guess, start your first website.
That's all right. The training wheels, right? You never know.
Yeah, offgridfood.co. So yeah, it's pretty easy to find
there. Right when you open up the website, they've got the link there right on the homepage for the whole pre-sale thing. I don't feel like we talked about that too much, so let's dive into that a little bit. The pre-sale, if I were to go on and buy it today, what's the process?
Yeah, so this first round, I kind of mentioned we're doing in a 4-meal pack. So just if you make one order on that website, you'll get one of the each 4 meals of that first pre-order.
Okay.
So yeah, the tigrine curry, the chili, the bison pasta, and then the quail taco mix. So those are pre-ordering right now, and then all of those are going to ship by August 1st. So we'll start shipping those just kind of as we get them out mid-July. So most of those, they'll go out, you know, anywhere from mid-July to by August 1st at the latest. So
excellent.
Kind of right before all the seasons fire up and guys get scouting super heavy. About a month out or so.
That's great. And that's perfect timing too for everybody that wants to get stocked up and have their meals squared away for those hunts in the fall. Good timing.
Yeah.
And so, you mentioned future pre-orders. What's the? Have you got a timetable set for those that are coming up after this August round?
Yeah, I was just gonna mention that. So we're gonna do. We'll probably launch another round of pre-order meals late July, like right when these ones ship. And those ones we're gonna do. They'll be individualized, so you don't have to buy the four pack. There'll be a new batch of meals, and we'll probably have some leftovers from this first round that'll be on there as well, just for single purchase. So we're just gonna kind of keep developing it as we go, and probably quarterly for the next little bit we'll add and change some meals and release those in a limited amount. And then by next summer, we'll have a pretty solid menu dialed in, ready for full time.
Excellent. So. And then I noticed that, obviously, to meet that August 1st deadline, the pre-sale ends on June 25th, right?
I think we set July 4th.
Moved it. Oh, okay, perfect. So you've got till the 4th of July then to put your pre-orders in.
I think so, and we may stop it before then if we sell out of them. So yeah. it may not last that long. So.
Well, there you go. For all the listeners that want to get on there and get stocked up, jump on and do it now before they get bought up.
Absolutely. Let me just double-check that. I think July 4th was the cutoff.
Gotcha.
Yep, July 4th. So. Okay. They'll be on there unless we run out before then, but yep, they'll be up till 4th of July.
Excellent. So coming up, getting here quick.
Before you know it.
All right. Well, good stuff, Spencer. Well, hey, man, I definitely appreciate you sitting down and talking with me a little bit and breaking down off-grid food, and I'm excited to see where this goes. I'm excited to get my hands on some of these flavors, man. I'm ready to move past the the macaroni and the beef stew.
There you go. Yeah, well, I'm excited to get your feedback as well. And yeah, thanks for having me on, man. I really appreciate the invite.
Definitely. I know Eric and Aaron both they took a handful of stuff up to Hunt Bear up in Idaho. And they were up there for almost 2 weeks, kind of off and on, not all in one stint, but yeah, they were up there. You know, I think they had some breakfast. I think they had some snacks. They were definitely, in fact, it was their feedback that made me want to get you on the podcast because they were raving about it. They were definitely impressed.
Oh, good deal. It's always nice to hear when it's performing in the field.
Definitely. And word on the street is Eric's a picky eater, so. You definitely scored points with him, so that's saying something.
There you go. Sweet.
Right on, Spencer. So definitely we'll keep in touch. The listeners can check you out then on offgridfood.co, on Instagram as well, offgridfood. Let me look at the Instagram. The username is
offgridfoodco.
Offgridfoodco on Instagram.
Easy, right? Just like you say. Yep.
Excellent. And then from there, obviously, you've got the link and stuff as well. And we'll post the link on the podcast notes and everything like that, too, to kind of funnel listeners your way. And then, jump on and get on there before that 4th of July deadline and buy your kit.
Perfect.
Good stuff, Spencer. Well, hey, man, anything else you want to add?
I don't think so, man. Yeah, no. Let us know if anyone's got any questions. There's feel free to reach out. I'm happy to answer questions and just chat in general. So
perfect.
We're here and available.
All right. Well, good to hear, man. Well, thanks, Spencer. I appreciate your time.
All right, Corey. Appreciate it, man.
Thank you.